The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, that's on page 905 in the Bibles in front of you. In Luke chapter 2, I'm going to bless you today with only one verse of Scripture. And so with one verse of Scripture, that must mean a short sermon, amen? In your dreams, amen? Luke chapter 2, verse number 7. Dr. Luke, how many of you knew that Luke was a physician? So Luke writes in his gospel of Jesus Christ, and she, that is Mary, the mother of Jesus, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Last week we found that when the wise men, the magi, visited baby Jesus, they presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And that's why we believe that there are three wise men, because there were three gifts. That's the only reason that we believe that. But there is an often overlooked theological fact. Here it comes. There is no mention of wrapping paper. Had there been wrapping paper, Matthew would have said so in his narrative of the birth of Christ. And if Matthew had recorded that about wrapping paper, it might have sounded like this. And lo, the gifts were encompassed with 7 cubits of paper, and the paper was covered with pictures of Frosty, the man of snow. And Joseph then purposed in his heart to cast the paper into the barrel of refuse. But Mary saith unto him, cease, man, drop the decorative parchment and set it aside for future usage. And Joseph didst roll his eyes at Mary. And it came to pass that the babe was more attracted by the paper than he was with the frankincense. See, men don't know much about wrapping gifts. Amen. We don't want to know much about wrapping gifts. But everything that we know about giving, we've learned from God. You see, God's plans have always involved giving. Let me give you some examples. God gave Adam and Eve a piece of skin from an innocent animal to cover the shame of their sin. God gave Noah a plan for the ark to save his family when judgment came. God gave Abraham a promise that his descendants would be as numerous as the sands on the seashore and the stars in the sky. God gave Sarah a precious miracle child in old age, whom she named Isaac. And then God gave Isaac a promised ram to take his place on the altar when his father Abraham was just about to drive a dagger into his heart. God gave Jacob a prodigy of 12 sons who were destined to become the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, who were the people of God. God gave Joseph a position as prime minister in Egypt that he might ultimately rescue his own people from that incredible famine that was coming. God gave Moses the power to work miracles before Pharaoh. God gave his people prophets to plead with them to walk in obedience to God. God gave the scriptures to prophesy ultimately of a Messiah who would come and deliver and save us from our sin. God gave the shepherds a proclamation of the angels that Jesus was born. God gave the wise men a prominent star in the sky to lead them to where the young child was. God gave Joseph the patience to understand the strange circumstances that surrounded his virgin with child. God gave the world the Prince of Peace. God gave Jesus a place with sinners on the cross to bear our sorrow and our shame. God, Jesus, gave his life for sinners. See, God offers to give all people a pardon for their sins, that they might know the joy of everlasting life in heaven with him. Wow. God is a great giver. Amen. And mankind has a lot to learn about giving from God. John tells us that God so loved the world that he gave. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus told that woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God, who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. To believers in Ephesus, the Apostle Paul said, for by grace you are saved through faith, that none of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It's very obvious to me, in my understanding of the scriptures, that Jesus is God's greatest gift. And today, I want us to take a little time to unwrap the gift that God has given us and see exactly what that gift means for you and I. The first thing I want to point out today is that God wrapped his gift in Old Testament mystery. It said that Jesus can be found in every book of the Bible. Not by name exactly, but he can be found in every book of the Bible. Even in the Old Testament, he is found everywhere when you begin to consider and to unwrap, if you will, the figures and the pictures and the symbols that the Messiah was coming. You can find Jesus throughout the Old Testament, but you're going to need to unwrap him by carefully reading the Bible, by carefully studying the Word of God. For example, Jesus is the seed spoken of in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, who said that he will bruise the serpent on his heel. Jesus is the one who was conceived by a virgin in Isaiah 7:14. Jesus is Emmanuel in Isaiah 9:6 that is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. He is the suffering servant that we find in Isaiah 53, upon which the Lord laid the iniquity of us all. Jesus is the ruler of Israel that was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, according to Micah the prophet in chapter 5, verse 20. You see, Jesus is found everywhere in the Bible if we will just take the time to unwrap the gift. God wrapped his gift in Old Testament mystery. But notice that Mary wrapped God's gift in a manger. The Bible says there in verse 7 that she, Mary, wrapped Jesus, the baby Jesus, in swaddling cloths. What precious words that Mary would wrap the Son of God in swaddling cloths. But there's more that's wrapped up in those swaddling cloths than just a little baby. For example, wrapped up in that baby is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. Every truth, every teaching, every type that is concealed in the Old Testament is being held in the arms of Mary. To understand the Old Testament narrative of Moses striking the rock, to understand the Old Testament narrative of the brass serpent on the pole, to understand the manna in the wilderness, to understand Jonah and that big old fish, to understand or get any sense of the Psalms of David or the Proverbs of Solomon, you're going to have to watch very closely what happens to this little baby that Mary is holding. But not only is this baby the fulfillment of the Old Testament, wrapped in this baby is also the fullness of Almighty God. You see, the God who created heaven and earth, the God who divided the Red Sea, the God who appeared in the burning bush, the God who delivered Daniel from the lion's den, the God who spared those three Hebrew boys from that fiery furnace, is sleeping in the arms of Mary. Wrapped in swaddling cloths. The Apostle Paul declared that in him, in Jesus, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, in this little bitty baby, the fullness of God dwells. But wrapped up in this baby is also the future of every single believer. You see, the destiny of every man rests in the relationship that they have with this little baby. Because this little baby is either going to be your savior or your judge. And we are the ones that make that choice. Jesus was introduced and baptized by John. He worked miracles. He called disciples. He died on a cross. He was buried in a grave. He was resurrected on the third day. He ascended to the Father, where he is now our advocate. He is our mediator. He is our great high priest. You see, Mary wrapped all that up in this little baby in a manger. Is it any wonder then that Satan then tries to wrap God's gift in ignorance? See, man and woman will never know what's wrapped up in the gift if Satan has his way. Satan tries to blind men's minds to the gift's true value. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 4, Paul told believers, he said, the God of this age, has blinded the minds of men. Men who do not believe. And so the glorious gospel of Jesus could not shine on them. See, to the natural eye, God's gift looks just like any other gift wrapped up. A natural man cannot receive the things of God because they are understood only spiritually. The spiritual eye, though, sees through the devil's wrappings. The spiritual eye sees through the devil's deceptions, sees through the devil's lies, and finds out that Jesus is much, much more than just a good teacher. He's much, much more than just a great prophet. He is the Son of God. But still, Satan tries to blind men to the gift's true value. But Satan also tries to bind men through empty traditions. So many people are convinced that their way to have eternal life is to make sure you come to the church house. You can learn how to have eternal life by coming to the church house, but that doesn't earn you any more than going to a garage. Amen? Thousands of people who once have accepted God's grace through faith are bound up in empty religion. They come to a place where they clock in and they think they have done their duty. They come to a place where they come and they think that's all they have to do in order to have a relationship with God. They have been bound up in empty religion instead of experiencing an intimate relationship with their Maker. That's what God desires. Worldwide, hundreds of thousands of people have accepted a religion handed down from them, from their forefathers. But they live their lives according to meaningless religious formalities, never enjoying the relationship with their Savior that He died to provide for them. Empty traditions. Satan's after. If he can get you just to believe in an empty tradition, he succeeded. But Satan also tries to build barriers to Jesus Christ through sin and through temptation. You see, the more that we sin, the more that we rebel in our life, the harder it is to repent. Therefore, those evil habits, those social sins, it seems like they just get a tighter and tighter and tighter grip on their lives. And the obstacles between people and their Savior then get bigger and bigger and bigger each day. Satan tries to wrap up God's gift in blindness, in traditions, but also through worldly sins. All so that he can keep poor sinners from experiencing the love of God. But finally, the Holy Spirit of God. The promised Holy Spirit of God unwraps God's gift for believers. Jesus promised that when he went back home to the Father, that he would send one. He would send one who would teach, who would show, who would reveal the truth to people. It's the blessed Spirit of God that has come to unwrap the gift for us, to help us to understand Jesus, to help us understand a walk with Jesus. You see, God's gift was unwrapped for shepherds to see. God's gift was unwrapped for the wise men to worship. He was unwrapped for Anna and Simeon to behold. He was unwrapped for John the Baptist to see this descending dove. He was unwrapped for the disciples that they might believe. He was unwrapped that Mary Magdalene might see the empty tomb. He was unwrapped for Thomas to see the nail prints in his hand and to cry out, "My Lord and my God." The same Holy Spirit will unwrap Christ to anyone who recognizes their sin condition and who is sincere and truly desires to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. Let us be truly thankful for the real reason for the season, God's greatest gift to you, a Savior. A Savior. One who would deliver you from every sin you ever committed. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. And thank God that after we receive that gift, do you know after we receive the gift of eternal life, the gifts just keep on coming. Amen? That's only the beginning. The gifts keep on coming. He gives you life, and then he gives you abundant life even before giving you eternal life. The gifts, they just keep on coming. So friend, we ought to unwrap all of God's gifts. Because you see, when you share your faith, you are unwrapping the gift for someone else. When you volunteer to serve in the kingdom of God, you are unwrapping God's gift for someone to see. When you invite someone to church, you are unwrapping God's gift so that they might see the gift. When you pray for a friend, you are unwrapping the gift that the Lord might have an impact on their lives. Friend, when you help someone make a spiritual decision, you are unwrapping the gift for them. And even when you bite your tongue, wanting to say something you know you ain't got no business, can I tell you that that is unwrapping God's gift to bless somebody else? You see, what we are is God's gift to us. But what we become in Christ is our gift to God. What kind of gift are you to God? See, when other people see God's gift in you, when they see God's gift in you, you are sharing God's gift with them. And if you're still here and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that's the reason you're still here, is to unwrap the gift of God for other people to see so that they might get the benefits of the gift for themselves. I read this very relevant story about World War II, and it was talking about the Germans making their last stand in France. And the United States and the British armies moved within just a few hundred yards of the Germans. And bullets and bombs began to fly and explode. And y'all, men began to die. And then right in the midst of that battle, a house was hit with a bomb. And it began to burn out of control. Then someone whispered, "Look!" And out of that burning house, it was unbelievable. Out of this burning house came walking this very small child. The child walked across the field, and the soldiers saw the child, and the shooting ceased. The bomb stopped. Soon everything was very, very still, and every eye was on the baby. Then a soldier suddenly raised up, sprinted out into the open field, scooped up that baby, and ran back to the line. And out of nowhere, in a single moment, great cheers went up on both sides of the war. And in a matter of moments, the battle and the bullets began to fly again. That baby brought peace, if only for a moment. Friends, you may not know it, but the War of Ages has been in progress since Satan's rebellion out of heaven. And then baby Jesus was born. And all the shooting stopped. All the battles ceased. But just for a moment, can I tell you that Jesus will give eternal peace to every single person who would be willing to put their trust and their faith in him and what he accomplished on Calvary's cross. Soon, the war's going to be over. Soon the war will be done and God will declare his victory. My question for you this morning is this. Are you on the winning side? Are you on God's side? Or are you on the enemy's side? Are you in the baby's side? Are you on Satan's side? Have you truly unwrapped God's greatest gift to you? See, God wrapped his gift in those Old Testament mysteries. Mary wrapped her gift in the manger. Satan tries to wrap God's gift in ignorance. But I'm here to tell you today that because I've shared this with you now, you're no longer ignorant. You know. And praise God, the Holy Spirit then unwraps God's gift for us to all who believe. So how are you saved from this great war? Simply said, it's by accepting the gift. When you accept the gift, you can then open the gift. And when you open the gift, you can then make use of the gift God has given you. Have you, by faith, trusted in what Jesus came to accomplish for you? That you would receive the greatest gift of God? Friend, after you do that, you're going to spend the rest of your life spending that precious gift, utilizing that precious gift. What an incredible blessing that is. But have you unwrapped the gift? Because when you do, the gifts just keep on coming. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you for a gift that is greater than anything we could possibly imagine or fathom. Lord, I pray that everyone here this morning, that everyone within earshot of my voice has truly received the gift of God and has begun to unwrap the gift with all of its implications to our life. Lord, what a sad state of affairs it would be if we were stuck in our wretched sin. We were provided a gift as a remedy for the penalty of those sins, but we chose not to unwrap it. Lord, help us all to hear your word this morning. Lord, help us all to realize that if we don't receive the gift, we cannot reap the benefits of the gift. If there's one, if there's even one that has not received the gift today, Lord, let them walk out of here gifted. And Lord, if there is one here today that opened the gift many years ago, perhaps, but they just haven't been reaping the benefits of the gift, walking in a relationship with Christ that is like no other, Lord, I pray that today would be a day of recommitment, of rededication, of resubmission, that, Lord, you would have your will and your way in every single person that is here today. Lord, I can't think of a better time of year to give our lives or rededicate our lives to Jesus Christ than Christmas, the celebration of the birth of our Savior. Lord, we want to declare our love for you today, and I pray that during this song decision time, that, Lord, if there's any burdens for prayer, if there's any struggles whatsoever, Lord, if it's just a time to spend in your presence, Father, we would take advantage of that benefit. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for what you're going to do during this decision time. Let it be all for your glory, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Please stand.